الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأطيعوا الله والرسول لعلكم ترحمون وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة أرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم Most honorable and respected ulama-i kiram, respected elders, brothers, and young friends, through the fadl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been blessed with the month of Ramadan, and very quickly and swiftly we have seen this month passing by. And now we have reached the last few days of this month and the last Friday of this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever ibadah, whatever devotion we were given, the tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out up until today. And the remaining days, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to value them properly, correctly, and maximize the benefit from the remaining days of Ramadan. Our most honorable Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Durat Hafizahullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen his shadow over us and give us the correct understanding of benefiting from him, learning from him, and through this acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salvation in this world and the hereafter. Our Honorable Shaykh Ridhullah regularly emphasizes the importance of ta'at. He time and again reiterates that our success in this world and the hereafter is dependent on dawami ta'ah, continuously obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ensuring that what we say, what we do is in complete accordance to the wish and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this phrase, dawami ta'a, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continually, persistently, is something we hear time and again. Let us ponder upon the true meaning of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we are able to acquire this quality, what are the things that we need to do so that dawam ta'a, perpetual and continuous obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comes into our life. Many a time when we may hear this word, dawam ta'a, we may become scared, frightened, or confused that perpetual and continuous obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a task which is beyond me. Because according to our limited understanding of deen, we may take obedience to Allah to mean detaching ourselves from everything in this world and only devoting ourselves to worship. That is what our concept may be. That when we are told we should always be obedient to Allah, that means every second, every moment, we have to engage ourselves in ibadah and not do anything else. So that is the wrong concept that many of us may have, and having this concept sometimes may make us frightened of this reality of acquiring dawam ta'a and always being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dawam ta'a basically means that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all walks of our life. We only do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we stay away from that which displeases Allah. So in our day-to-day life, whether we are a professional, whether we are a laborer, whether we work in an office, whether we run a business, whether we are a teacher, whether we are a student, whether we are young, whether we are old, whether we are male, female, we have to ensure that in all aspects of our life, we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our target should be obeying Allah, not doing anything that would bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verses of the Quran that I shared with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully commands us to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says, وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, and obey Allah and the Messenger so that you may be shown mercy. So when we have been told to be obedient to Allah, that also entails obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we have been shown how to obey Allah. And obeying the Prophet is obeying Allah. That is why Allah says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, whosoever obeys the Rasul, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, indeed he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Rasul, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he has commanded us to do is nothing but the obedience to Allah. It isn't anything different. But the reason why this has been mentioned separately is in order to emphasize this fact and this reality, that many commands of the Sharia have been explained through the medium of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may not come directly in clear terms from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And clarification of that command, the true meaning of that command, would only be explained by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So someone could have fallen under this misconception that our responsibility is only being obedient to Allah. So if he just made that his goal and target, he would not be successful. Because not the whole deen has been mentioned in its full detail in the Quran.
The full details of the deen have been shown to us through the medium of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to be obedient to Allah and obedient to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only then do we acquire success of this world and the success of the hereafter. And what does Allah say? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be shown mercy as a result of obedience to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person is worthy of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will acquire success, salvation in this world and the hereafter. That is why in the hadith our Honorable Shaykh Habibullah shared with us a few days ago, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala عنهما احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده اتجاهك. That oh Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take care of Allah, meaning take care of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take care of you. Take care of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will find Allah always with you. So being obedient to Allah, being obedient to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, would make the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to our aid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be with us. Our Honorable Shaykh, time and again, mentions this poem of Allama Iqbal, that ki Muhammad se wafa to hum tere hai, ye jahan cheez hai kya logon ko karam tere hai. That if you be loyal, meaning if you are obedient to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is an actual fact, being obedient to Allah, then what is this world? This world is nothing. Not only would you have complete control over this world and everything that it contains, lohu kalam tere hai, the takdeer would be in your hands. But what you would want, what you would ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would most definitely grant you that. So it is through dawami ta'a, continuously obeying Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning ensuring that we do everything that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would bring us success in this world and the hereafter. And this is why we gather here, to learn about bringing this dawami ta'a, obedience to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Allah further mentions, وَصَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Obedience to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to understand what it entails and what a person needs to do, Allah says, hasten towards the forgiveness of your Lord. Hasten to the forgiveness of your Lord. Hasten towards Jannah, the vastness of which is the heavens and the earth, which has been prepared for the muttaqeen, for the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to bring obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into one's life, in order to know whether we are obedient to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to check, we need to ask ourselves, am I hastening towards the forgiveness of Allah? Now here, Allah commanding us to hasten towards forgiveness of Allah does not literally mean we hasten towards asking forgiveness and we say to Allah, Allah forgive me. It means hasten towards adopting all those deeds and all those acts that would make you worthy of the forgiveness of Allah. In other words, hasten towards bringing good a'mal into your lives. Hasten towards doing a'mal salihah. Many things could be said with regards to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of mentioning a'mal salihah, because in actual fact it is a'mal salihah that is required, good deeds. that would show that we are obedient to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as a result, ensure success. But why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention maghfira, the means and the causes of Allah forgiving a person, rather than mentioning the deed itself? So in short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is diverting our attention towards this fact that it is not the amal itself, it is not the good deed in the apparent that would guarantee you success. You have to ensure that the deed that you are doing is worthy of the forgiveness and mercy of Allah. Many a time a person could be doing a good deed from the apparent, he could be performing salah, he could be giving money to the poor, he could be engaging in so many acts of charity. But in reality, these acts may not be making worthy of the forgiveness and mercy of Allah. Why? Because he is not doing these deeds with sincerity. He's only doing this for fame. He's only doing this to acquire recognition, to show off, to be seen to be a religious person. So because of this, these deeds, although from the apparent seem good deeds, they are not good deeds in the eyes of Allah. They are not worthy of Him acquiring the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to make sure that the a'mal salihah that we carry out and that we have been encouraged to hasten towards are such that they will definitely make us worthy of the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that, Allah is directing our attention towards this fact that no matter how many good deeds you do, no matter how many good deeds you do, it is not the quantity of the good deeds that would guarantee you success in the hereafter. It is the quality of the good deed. And the quality of the good deed would make you worthy of the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum that in order to acquire success, remain on the moderate path of righteousness and remain very close to the straight path. And then he said, whenever you're given the opportunity to do good deeds, then take glad tidings that inshallah through this good deed Allah will definitely grant me forgiveness, He will accept me, He will pardon me. But at the same time he says, وَإِنَّهُ لَيُّدْخِلَ أَحَدًا الْجَنَّةَ عَمَلُهُ, that none of you would enter paradise through his deeds. It is not his deeds that is going to give him entry into paradise. So when he said this, the companions of Allah ta'ala anhum, they questioned, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that even you, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ, that even me, I will not enter paradise except through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no one on the surface of this earth who has been more obedient to Allah than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has done more amal salih than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet what does he say? It is not through my deeds that I'm going to be given entry into paradise. It is the mercy of Allah. So that is what we need to work towards. Not quantity, quality. And it is in places like this, in the khanka, in places where we are taught tazkiyah, self-reformation, and in the company of pious mashayikh like our Honorable Shaykh Hafizahullah, do we learn these things? Or else, our life could end with us toiling, exerting so much effort, and Allah save God and protect us all, we may come out at the end with nothing. We may come out at the end and raise on the day of judgment bankrupt. So we may be thinking that we are doing so much, we are going to acquire so much in the hereafter, and when we are summoned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only then would we realize that what we were thinking of a lot is nothing in the scales, is nothing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm sure you have learned through the beautiful method of explaining that our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah adopts, that every good deed, no matter how inferior or insignificant it may seem to us, is where you're taken is into Jannah. So why? Because that deed attracts the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. So it is not the quantity, yes, if it's large number of good deeds with a lot of quality, all the better. So we are not saying that don't worry about quantity and just try to find one insignificant deed in your eyes and just do that. No. A person strives to do many good deeds, but carries them out with quality. Because that is the essence, that is the key to success. And that is what is going to bring him the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, hasten towards the forgiveness of your Lord. Meaning, hasten towards good deeds that would make you worthy of the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, you would be given entry into paradise. You would be given entry into paradise. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that paradise has been prepared for those who are muttaqi. So we learn those who are obedient to Allah are those who would hasten towards good deeds, who would hasten towards doing those deeds that would attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the people who are regarded as muttaqeen. These are the ones who are the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain qualities of the muttaqeen. Certain qualities of the muttaqeen. And how compassionate, merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has sent the Quran, sent the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our guidance and showed us the path through the Quran, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the sirat al-mustaqim that you need to tread on. So He's clearly mentioned the straight path. But not only has He told us that this is the straight path that you need to walk on, a person may sometimes be confused and may not be able to differentiate between right and wrong. He may not be able to know that, is this the path that I'm treading? Is this the correct path or not? So Allah has mentioned certain qualities that if we were to look at, we would know that this is the straight path. And most importantly, those people who tread the straight path, so that when we look at them, and when we find these qualities in them, we would know that this is the path that I need to take. This is the sirat al-mustaqim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to follow. So Allah says, follow the straight path. And together with that, He mentions how to follow the straight path, who are the people that you need to look at to determine that you're on the straight path or not. He says, sirat al-ladhin an'amta alayhim, that the path of those upon whom you have favored. And who are the people Allah has favored? He mentions that in the Quran. Who are the mun'am alayhi? Those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favors, min al-nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada wa salihin. That you look at the lives of the prophets, look at the lives of the siddiqeen, those who are true in what they say and what they do. Their apparent and their hidden is the same. It's not that in public they behave differently and at home in seclusion they behave differently. They would always be obedient to Allah and have the highest quality of taqwa in their lives. So the truthful, the shuhada, the martyrs, the salihin, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's mentioned who these people are. And then in many occasions in the Quran, He mentions certain qualities. Because again, you may take someone on face value to be pious. Looking at the way he behaves, you may just take him to be pious. But no, Allah has given clear definitions in the Quran and certain qualities that will be found in these people that if you were to look at, your heart would say that definitely this person is a pious servant of Allah, he's on the straight path, and these are the people that Allah has told you to follow and adopt their company. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ, those who spend in ease and in adversity. So one quality of a muttaqi, or of that person whose company we are to adopt, and whose qualities we should try to bring in our lives would be that you would see such people that they would spend in ease and adversity. They would spend in ease and adversity. So in ease meaning, if they have wealth in abundance, their wealth and their riches would not stop them from spending upon the needy and the poor. Because many times a person becoming wealthy, that wealth stops him from spending upon those that are worthy of being taken care of. Similarly, not only at the time of ease they spend, even in adversity. But when they don't have it enough, when they don't have enough, still they spend. Still they spend. So we have been given encouragement by the Sharia that when it comes to spending in the path of Allah, one should not look at his financial circumstances that only when I have 1,000, that is when I'm going to spend. No, whatever little you are able to spend, you should spend that. Because it brings a lot of reward. Allah could have just mentioned spend when you are in the condition of ease. No, he says spend in ease as well as in adversity. So in ease and adversity, a person who has 100,000, our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah explained, the person who has 100,000 pounds, and from there he spends 1,000 pounds. And another person who only has 100 pounds, and he spends 1 pound. So when we look at both of their spending, our minds would say, one has given 1,000, and the other has given 1. The one who has given 1,000 has given more, and the one who has given 1 has given less. But no, in the court of Allah, they're both the same. Why? The one from 100,000 having given 1,000 has given 1% of his earnings. And the one who only has 100 and is given 1, he's also given 1%. So again, it is the sacrifice and the sincerity which a person gives in the court of Allah that is counted. It is not the quantity. It is not the quantity. It is the quality with which a person gives in the path of Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully mentions things in ease and adversity. The commentators of the Quran mention that Allah does not mention what to spend. He does not say spend wealth, he does not say spend gold, he does not say spend silver, he just says spend. So the commentators of the Quran mention that this entails all types of assistance and all types of helping someone and being at their aid, whether it is monetary aid, whether it is morally supporting someone, whether it is giving someone time. So no matter what circumstance you are in, if you are in ease, you still give that person your time and you help him. Sometimes he may just need you to listen to his problem, knowing that you don't have any expertise or you don't have the capability of resolving or removing that problem. But he may just need a shoulder to cry on, so that whatever is burdening him, he can take that on his shoulders and assume that there is someone who is physically with me, listening to the problem that I'm going through. But at that time, if you were to say that I've got no time for you, go and see someone else, or this is something which will just resolve in its own time, and you do not give him the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, you are not from among the muttaqeen. You are not from among the muttaqeen. So those who give in ease and adversity, our Honorable Shaykh of Allah, recall him mentioning on a number of occasions, and many of you that have been with him may have seen, experienced, that there have been times during journey when the Shaykh may not have slept for 24 hours or more than 24 hours. And he would have decided that this is the time that I want to rest now. After the program, we're going to head straight to the host's house and we're going to rest. And I don't want to continue with anything because I've had enough now. I've really overworked. And so many times, he's approached that last moment by someone mentioning a problem of his. And I've never seen the Shaykh refusing and saying that, come tomorrow, or this is not the time. Haven't you seen how much I've been working? The time that I got up until now, I've not had an opportunity to rest for a while. Why? Because this is the quality of the muttaqeen, that even at adversity, even in the time is not ample or they're constrained with time, they would still give that time to them. And I've heard the Shaykh himself mentioning that on one occasion during the month of Ramadan, when he went for a program somewhere, when he just laid down to rest, a youngster came. And upon him arriving, obviously everyone has feelings, emotions. The first instant, you would think that it would have been good if he did not come, because definitely he's come with a problem. But when he discusses, that is when you ponder upon what action and cause of action you should take and what is more beneficial. So when he first entered, that was the thought that was crossing the Shaykh's mind. But when he mentioned his problem, the Shaykh says, if I did not speak to him at that moment, he would have forsaken deen. He would have left Islam, because he was more or less on the border of kufr. More or less on the border of kufr. And just by me listening to him and encouraging him, giving him some advice, today he's connected to the Shaykh. He's benefiting from him. So this is the quality of those who are muttaqeen, that they would spend not just their wealth, their time, morally support someone, give words of encouragement, and they would always be concerned about them. They would also always be concerned about such people. So in actual fact, the quality would be that they would always look at what is beneficial for the person that has come. They would sacrifice their own comfort and their own ease for the comfort of someone else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that the quality of the muttaqeen are those who swallow the anger. Swallow the anger. Not only do they control the anger, they forgive people. So the person who's done wrong to them, not only do they control them making them angry, they would also forgive. And not only would they forgive, they would also do ihsan, because Allah loves those who are the muhsineen, who do good. So Allah mentions so many terms with regards to tazkiyah that we hear our Honorable Shaykh Hafizullah mentioning time and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned da'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how one should hasten towards doing good deeds. He mentions muttaqi, he mentions muhsineen. And how are these qualities to be brought into our lives? What are these qualities? Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah mentions an incident that Imam Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he was performing wudu, and the slave that was pouring the water for him happened to drop the jug in which the water was, and as a result his clothes became soiled and dirty. So it was natural for him to become angry. So Imam Ali ibn Hussein, when he became angry, the servant seen that my master has become angry upon my wrongdoing. So immediately the slave prayed this verse of the Quran, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, that those who swallow the anger, control the anger. So he said, كَذَمْتُ غَيْظِي, I have swallowed my anger. And then further the slave said, not only do they control the anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, they forgive and pardon people. So he said, أَفَوْتُكَ, that I have forgiven you. And not only that, further said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those who do good. So he said, فَالْأَحْسَنْتُ إِلَيْكَ أَنْتَ حُرٌّ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, I have done good towards you, I have freed you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the qualities of the pious, of the muttaqeen. And this is what we need to try and bring into our lives. So through this process of tazkiyah, through this process of being the company of the pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely bring such qualities into our lives. He would bring us upon continuously obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would conclude by mentioning the next verse. Allah says that because we as human beings may slip and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do something wrong. So not everything is lost when that happens. What does Allah say? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. But the muttaqeen, he's talking about the muttaqeen, which literally means to stay away from the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's mentioning quality of theirs, that if they happen to do an act of open immorality, an act of open immorality, what would they first do? Dhakarullah. They would remember Allah at that moment. So after having slipped, they would not remain in that condition immediately. Their heart and their mind would go towards Allah and they would seek forgiveness for their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who can forgive sins except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there is no one who can pardon sins except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what our Honorable Shaykh Rizahullah time and again mentions is TNT. So in the top verses Allah is mentioning about taqwa, that the importance of taqwa and how can one acquire taqwa, what are the qualities of taqwa. And then he mentions that after having acquired taqwa, if you happen to slip, not all is lost. What do you need to do? Do tawbah. So taqwa and tawbah, if we make that the cycle in our lives, then inshaAllah, we will be from that group who have been mentioning these verses. And we will acquire the success in this world and the hereafter. We will always see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisting us. We would always see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always being on our side. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us acquire these qualities, and the little that remains in this blessed month may we strive so that we are able to acquire these qualities to the maximum.